So it's your prayer this morning that whatever it takes for me to draw closer to the Lord. Easier said than done. Easier said than done. And when we say, Lord, whatever he can, or if we mean it, it'll be whatever. And things that maybe we're not thinking of when we say, Lord, whatever it takes. But if we want to make it to heaven, we're going to have to say, Lord, whatever it takes for us to get closer to you. That's what we desire, for our will to break. We want you in our lives this morning. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'm going to read, starting reading at verse 26. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That first verse said, let us make man in our image. The scripture says that we're created in the image of God. We're created in the image of someone. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit this morning about that. And our world is image-centered. Every company wants their brand to succeed, so they go out and they try to buy an endorsement from some famous celebrity. And once they get them on board, once they pay them enough money, they will run an ad campaign touting that so-and-so is using this brand and so should you. A kid that dreams of playing basketball, they see his favorite player wearing a certain brand of shoe. And if he sees that, he says, if he's wearing that, and if I want to be a professional basketball player just like him, I must wear that shoe. Back in the 70s and early 80s, when Converse was still one of the top brands of shoe, they got Larry Bird and Magic Johnson to come and do a commercial right here in French Lick, where Larry Bird was from. And they did their commercial wearing their Converse basketball shoes. And when the world saw that Larry Bird and Magic Johnson, the two best basketball players at that time, were wearing Converse, sales went through the roof. Why? Because they were the image of Converse. Everybody knew who those two guys were, and they may not even had too much interest in Converse, but if they were wearing it, so should I. Most people didn't really know too much about Converse, but they sure knew who Larry Bird and Magic Johnson were. They were representatives of Converse shoes. They endorsed it. They wore the shoes. They promoted it. They were all in on Converse. The scripture says that we are created in the image of God. We are image bearers of God. What does that mean? God created man to be in a close relationship with him. Man was perfect, holy, blameless, and without sin. It was a perfect image of God represented through Adam and Eve. But we see that it didn't take too long that sin distorted that image of God. We were once a perfect mirror of God and his holiness, but now we are a foggy, scuffed up, smudgy, imperfect image of who we were supposed to be. This mirror, this image of our lives, this mirror of our lives will always give a true reading. It will always show a true depiction of who we are. When we were in sin, it showed a messed up life, a life that was bound in the muck, in the mire of sin. Someone that's an image of someone that's living a hard life, bound by the chains of sin. When the world would look at you, they saw the reflection of the world in you. You were representing them. All that you are and all that you were and all that you were doing was representing the world, what the world pushed and promoted would be seen in you. You may say, did I really look like that? Do I really look like that? Does the mirror really put me in that distorted state? Absolutely. You cannot have a clean mirror or a clear mirror if you are distorting it with the world. What are some of the things that could distort your image? First thing that I could see that will distort your image is pride. Pride will distort your image. Pride is the root of most sins. Lucifer had pride. He lifted himself up to where he thought he was going to be equal, if not more powerful than God. Pride caused Eve to sin. The thought of being just like God was too much for her. Pride is the lifting up of oneself higher than you are supposed to be. It is making yourself better than who you are. Have you ever met someone that is full of themselves? Not something too great to be around. We see the scripture talks about pride. What does the scripture say about it? Proverbs 16:5 says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord." James 4:6 says, "Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble." Romans 12:3 says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." The scripture talks about pride, talks about how we should avoid it. It's an abomination of the Lord. As I said, have you ever met anyone that is as full of themselves? It just annoys me so much to come in contact with those people playing different sports, and you always have that one person that just lifts themselves up way too much. They think they are the who's who on the court. They just walk around cocky. Their attitude is unattractive. Most of the time, they're all talk and no walk. But it's annoying. It's uncomfortable to be around because they really think there's something, and they like to share it with others. And I've participated in a couple archery competitions in my life, and one of them I was there, and there was this young guy that was around my age, and he really thought he was the greatest. He thought he was the greatest shot, and he bragged about every shot that he made. Just very annoying to be around. And he was okay, he was decent, but I mean, every shot he made a comment, "Wow, that was a really good shot. I hit the target. That was really good." And nobody else was paying him any compliments, so I guess he had to give himself compliments. It's about made you want to throw up. It was just very uncomfortable being around. And he also thought he was the most knowledgeable about the sport of archery than anyone there. And it was my turn to practice before the competition. And he comes over to me, not knowing if I've ever shot a bow and arrow in my life, and proceeds to tell me how to hold it, how to sight down the arrow, how to pull it back, how to hold it, do everything. I was trying to pull the bow back, and he grabbed my arm and was saying, "Okay, you really need to do this." And I was like, "Oh, Lord help me. This is not what I really wanted to go through." And it was just, I was like, who does this person think that he is? And the funny thing is, he wasn't even giving good instruction. The head man over the competition interrupted him and said that what he was saying was wrong. It wasn't even what we were supposed to be even doing. And my goal from that point in time was not changed. It was not to win the competition. It was just to do better than he did. And I was like, if he's just going to go up here and try to tell me what to do, I hope I do better. And he was a good shot, but the pressure of it, I found out he was more talk than he was walked, and he got up there and he didn't do as well as he thought. But that type of spirit, that type of lifting someone of oneself up, is going to distort the image of God. It's not going to be should not be the accurate representation of God. Pride will distort the mirror, the image of God. When people look on you, should they see God or do they see you? Another thing that will distort the image is selfishness. We've all seen the child playing with their toys and have a lot of toys out, but just playing with one. But another kid comes and starts playing with some of the unused toys, and that first kid thinks that they all need to be his. No one else is going to play with them. They're all mine. I'm not sharing. This can be overlooked and maybe even thought as comical or cute when a small child does it, but when you're an adult or 35, 40 years old and you're still hogging up the toys because you think the sun rotates around you, it doesn't look that great. Being a selfish adult makes others not want to be around you. Everything must be about you. You want all the attention. You want all the praise. You would rather lift yourself up than to be selfless and help someone else. God is calling us not to be selfish. This will distort the image of God. God should be number one in our lives. Why would we ever want to put ourselves first instead of God? Romans 8:5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Philippians 2:3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." We should be selfless. We don't need to be selfish. And that the thing of humbling ourselves and putting others first. We know the kids' song, "Jesus, Others, and You." We should have God first. We should be putting Him first place in our lives. When the world looks on and we don't walk around holding a mirror, but our life is a mirror. It's an image. We are created in the image of God. And when the world looks upon us, when those around us look upon us, our lives reflect who we belong to, who we are representing. And if we're prideful or selfish, the world will see it and it's unattractive. It's not something that you want to be a part of. And God help us to not have our mirror or our image distorted. Another way is a bad attitude. You may be wondering, why are you picking on some of these areas to focus on? Don't these seem that these are kind of childish things that maybe children deal with? But yeah, they do start as children, but they can grow out and make unpleasant adults. A bad attitude is just terrible to be around. It just makes everyone around you uncomfortable. If you don't get your way, how do you react? Do you stomp your feet and throw things like a child may do? We say, "I hope not. I hope an adult wouldn't do that." But I did see with my own eyes a 20-year-old get so mad because something didn't go his way that he threw what he had down in his hand, threw it on the floor, and it shattered into pieces. The room went completely silent. We were all adults in the room. And nobody was expecting that. The person was just having a bad attitude. You expect a child to do that, but it looks worse when an adult does it. Well, I remember a bad attitude will distort the image of God. I remember at youth camps, kids would be disappointed. I would be disappointed because I got on a certain team, a certain team leader's team. Why? Because of his attitude. The team leader is there not to rule the roost. He's there to help the children have fun. As a camper, I always enjoyed the good team leaders that I had. I always remember the bad team leaders that I had. They just wasn't enjoyable. It kind of ruined the week. They were more worried about trying to reach a certain goal than letting the kids have fun. And as I moved on out of being a camper and becoming a team leader at youth camps, you realize that, man, there's some people that just have a bad attitude. It's just, you shouldn't, the team leader of the group shouldn't be the one with the worst attitude, but sometimes it does. Why? Why do they have, because why are they having a bad attitude? Instead of showing the love of Jesus, so I've been on teams where the person was mean or ugly to those in charge, rude to his campers. All because of their attitude, not a good representation of the image of God. What if something happens at work that isn't fair or just something went wrong? How are you going to react? How are we going to react? Are you going to chew out your coworker? Are you going to give him the what for? Is your reaction ugly to see? Does it make others uncomfortable to be around you? Make sure your attitude is right. We are to be the image of God. Shame on us if we succumb to that type of attitude. James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." It is ugly. It ruins the image of God. It makes it to where people will look down on you, dislike being around you, all because you have a bad attitude. Run from these areas. They are not to be in a Christian's life. These will distort the image of God. I have bad news to share with you today. I don't like bad news. I don't like depressing news because it's depressing. That's why I don't like depressing news. But all of us have had our mirror or our image distorted. Our image has been distorted. We cannot get around it. We're not perfect humans. Well, we were born with a distorted image of God. We were supposed to be created with a clean, a pure, a perfect image. We were supposed to be created in His image. But because of sin, we were messed up. Shame covering us. We deserve to be done away with. No one would want to be associated with us if they knew that our image was distorted or destroyed. In the early 2000s, Michael Vick was a quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. He was the first quarterback to run for 1,000 yards in a season, first one to ever do it. His fame skyrocketed, and sponsors were wanting him to represent their merchandise. Especially Nike and Rawlings flocked to him. He was signing endorsement deals left and right. Everyone wanted to be associated with Michael Vick. In that one year, he made almost $26 million in endorsement deals. But by the end of the next year, he was broke and in prison. After getting caught up in an illegal dogfighting scheme, he lost nearly $142 million in salaries and also about $50 million in endorsement deals. Nike and Rawlings quickly dropped Michael Vick. No one wanted to be connected or associated with him anymore. The man that everybody thought that they needed around them was now useless to them. He was ruined and was an outcast in society. When we sin, we cannot be associated with God. He cannot be in a relationship with us. It breaks his heart, but he has no choice. He has no place for sin. We were destitute, broken, lost, and dying. That perfect image of God is lost. It's been ruined. But I have good news to share, not only just bad news, but I have good news to share as well, that the image that was lost can be restored. God says, I cannot have a relationship with you if you remain in sin, but I'm more than willing to let you come back to my family. You are always welcome back. Yes, the dirt and the grime of this world has distorted the image, has distorted the mirror. But God says, watch this. He pours some of His own blood over that image, and with one swipe, it comes off. Now He wants us to represent Him. He wants us to be associated with Him. He wants us to be in a relationship with Him. So when we come back to Him and we ask Him to forgive us and make our mirror clean, He doesn't say, well, let me think about it. Or if He starts to clean off, maybe He might struggle. But no, He doesn't struggle. His blood washes away all stains. He will make you brand new, a new creature in Christ Jesus. All old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You may be dirty, tarnished, stained with sin, but it's no match against the blood of Jesus. He will make you clean and whole. Songwriter says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not only should our mirror be made clean by the blood of Jesus, it must be kept clean. Since the last June or whatever, my wife got voted in as the church janitor. And I was all for that. If she wanted to do that, that was great. I did not know that I got voted in as the assistant. I did not know that that came with the election. And so I have a lot of respect for Warren. I have a lot of respect for him for doing that for many years as well. He assumed the assistant janitor position. But I'm more than willing to help my wife out. And so we come every Wednesday, every Saturday, and clean up the church. And you learn a lot about people by cleaning up after them. I have so many rabbit trails right now that I could go on, but I'm not going. One thing is, it's surprising to me. It seems like maybe some of you walk through a hayfield and come to church, and then you deposit about 2 to 3 bales worth in your pew. But hey, it's okay. It's my job, and I will vacuum it up, and I won't say anything more about it. I've always thought we give the treasurer's report, we give the secretary's report. I think we should give a janitor's report in the business meeting because I have things to say. No, I don't. No. I also thought about maybe giving you a report card at the end of the year to see how your pew did for the year, but I'm not going to do that as well. So I have a couple jobs that I have to do. I do the easy jobs because I'm not the world's greatest cleaner, so I get to dust and vacuum and do stuff like that and help out. But one of my jobs is to clean these unbelievably dirty brass handrails. In this new church, I will vote no on brass handrails. I don't know who thought that was a good idea, but it's just terrible. And so I didn't know anything about brass because everybody likes brass to be shiny. And so I didn't know anything about it. So we, first day on the job, I guess we're cleaning the brass. There's brass polished in the cleaning cubby hole. And so we go at it, and week after week, trying to figure out what works and what doesn't. We finally got this one cleaner that just, I mean, really shines it up. And this is just something from yesterday that we came. This is a rag that comes off the, this was one of 7 of cleaning the brass handrails. This is what comes off every week. And as I come up from Sunday school and I see all you putting your hands on the brass handrails, I just pray for you. And but it's okay. That's what they're meant there for. And if you need to use them, go right ahead. I'll clean them up the next Saturday, as I always do. But they have to be maintained. That's just 1 week of tarnish, of fingerprints, of discoloration. If I don't do it every week, they get really, really bad. And you have to maintain it. Anything here, everything that we know, our vehicles, if you don't maintain it, if you don't do your regular maintenance, then things will not work. Anything in life that we use on a regular basis, you must maintain it. You must use maintenance and apply maintenance to it. And that's the same thing with our Christian, our life. We must maintain it. Do we give up in despair when things get tough? Do I give up in despair and just forget about cleaning the railings because every week I have to do it and they always come off, it all comes off really black? Do I give up just because, well, every week I have to do that? No, I get the fingerprints off and the smudges and the discoloring off as well. It's a whole lot easier to maintain it than to do an initial cleaning. It's just easier. I just have to stay on top of it. If I let it go a month or two, it'll be back to the initial state. And the same thing with us in our Christian life. We must maintain our spiritual walk. It's not we're just going to magically get saved and then everything's just going to go great from then on. We're not going to have any struggles. We're not going to have anything that we need to deal with. No, on a weekly basis, a daily basis, God's going to give us things. Okay, I need. There's starting to be something here. I want you to deal with this. I want you to clean this up in your life. You're starting to go a little bit different direction. I want you to turn your focus over to here. That's maintaining. That's not having the initial work done. That's just maintaining your spiritual walk. And if you let it go, just like if I would let the handrails go, it becomes dirty, it becomes dull, and it eventually it goes back to a terrible state where you've got to really take the time and do an initial cleaning and just clean the whole thing over again. We are the image of God. We are a reflection of Him to the world. We must maintain our spiritual life. If we let go and neglect it, we will fall back into the life of sin that we once lived. We must maintain the mirror of Christ. Those small smudges or stains may seem harmless. They say, well, that's not that much in my life. It's not that much. It's probably not going to affect me that much. But if you let it go and you don't maintain it and you don't clean it on a daily basis, it's going to grow and grow until one day you wake up and you think, how in the world did I get to this point? Well, I didn't maintain. I didn't do what I needed to do on a daily basis in my spiritual walk. We are God's representatives to the world. We are His ambassadors. An ambassador of the president speaks for the president. Those the ambassadors to different countries, they talk to the leaders of those countries. They're in tune with their, but those leaders know that I'm talking to the ambassador, but he's talking to the president, and what the president says will be said through this ambassador, and he's a representation of his country. He's a representation of his kingdom. He's a representation of a different place, not where he's stationed at. And this morning, we're stationed in this world. We're representatives of Christ. We belong to a different kingdom than this world. We belong to them. Our lives should represent something different than what the world represents. Yes, the world may have some good ideas about some things, but their intentions, their ideas are not always pure and good. So we're of a different kingdom. We're representing someone else. I hope we're not representing the world. I hope our mirror, if somehow on ourselves, we had a mirror that said you could look there and you could see if. Are you a representative of Christ? Is there smudges on the mirror? Is your mirror distorted because it has pride, or you're selfish, or you have a bad attitude, or any different number of things? I hope our lives are a representation of who God is, and that the world can see. If you go through your life and you're around people, I hope they can see that there's something different about you, not in an odd way, but there's something different about how you conduct yourselves, how you react at work when things don't go well. That's how people are going to know if you're a Christian. Most of the time, we're not just going to walk right up to them and talk to them about spiritual things. Most of the time, that doesn't get received very well. But they'll notice how you act. They'll notice how you conduct yourselves. They'll notice how you react. And that's going to be our main witness to those around us while you're at work, while you're at the grocery store, when the cashier does something wrong, or they just seem like they're having a bad day. Are you going to be a representative of Christ, or are you going to follow just the way the world does and choose them out and give them a hard time, or are you going to smile at them and say, well, it's okay, it's no big deal, it's all going to work out? And how are you representing Christ? Is your mirror clear? Or does it have a blemish on it? I hope our mirrors are clean. Our image, we're created to be in His image. Let's do our part to make sure it's clean. Maintain it. Maintain our spiritual walk with Christ. Let's stand this morning. Be dismissed with prayer. Austin Eckert, would you dismiss us in prayer this morning?